If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 1 of chapter 5, and then we're going to read verses 15 through 20. We're continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to talk about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about the two kinds of power in the New Testament, and one of the powers that we have when we accept Jesus as Savior is to become a child of God. But when you become a child of God, God wants you to act like God's child. You know, probably you parents may have had times when you didn't want anybody to know that the children acting so badly were yours. I suspect God is a little ashamed of us sometimes. He wants us to be His children. In verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Now, beginning in verse 15, now remember that we Presbyterians believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule for faith and practice to tell us how we should believe and how it should act. Therefore, when we go to the Scripture, which is the means by which God's Spirit speaks to us, we should listen to hear God's voice. Hear what God is saying to you. Look carefully then how you walk. Are you careful about how you walk? Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, what is the will of the Lord? Here it is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But now the Greek imperative, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. So to be filled with the Spirit is not an option for Christians. It's a command, a necessity. Our meditation, how to be filled with the Spirit, our text, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. God, thank you for this marvelous word from your holy scripture. Through the sermon now, speak to us. May I fade away. May my words be utilized and used by the Spirit in a special way to help us understand the potential we have as children of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, I preached a sermon entitled Power Beyond the Parking Lot. Do we have any power as Christians that's relevant to the world we live in? When we get in our car and start for home, do we have any power available to us? Now, in that sermon, I shared how the New Testament talks about two kinds of spiritual power. For example, when the Bible says that as many as receive Jesus as Savior, they receive power to become children of God. The Greek word there really means that one receives the right, the authority, the privilege to become a child of God. When you accept Jesus, you've got power to be an inheritor of the Lord. On the other hand, there's another Greek word translated power that implies the miraculous power of God. And Jesus promised His disciples that believers would receive that kind of spiritual power as well. St. Luke closes his gospel by repeating the words that Jesus spoke to His disciples. He said to them, "But stay in the city until you are clothed with power, miraculous power from on high." And the book of Acts is the story of how those men, clothed with the miraculous power of God, turned the ancient world upside down for Jesus Christ. And in our sermon last week, we asked the question, Is that sort of spiritual power just for New Testament times? Was the great power of God working in the lives of those people just for the first century Christians, or is it God's intention for believers of all ages to have that miraculous spiritual power? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Does God intend for you as a believer to have that kind of spiritual power? Now, certainly as a believer, you have the authority, you have the right, you have the privilege to be a child of God just because you believe. When you became a believer and accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, God did a miracle work in your life. You see, in the very instant that you turned to Him, God did something in your life that we call regeneration. You are regenerated. Now, what does that mean? Well, if something's dead, you've got a dead battery and you charge it up, you regenerate it. If a motor is dead and won't start and you get it started, that's regenerating. We were dead in sin and God regenerated us. We were born again. We were given eternal life. Salvation became ours. We were forgiven. We who were dead in sin became alive again in Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. But beyond that authority, that right, that privilege, that power to be a child of God, is there any miraculous spiritual power that God intends for you and me to have as those first disciples did? Well, Jesus said that the things that He did, greater things than those would we do because He was going to the Father. Now let me remind us of exactly what that means. The promise that Jesus made us was that after His ascension, after His return to heaven, that He was going to send the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And the latter chapters of the Gospel of John deal extensively with this great promise. Jesus tells us that He must return to heaven in order for the Holy Spirit to come. Now, the Bible tells us that the power of Jesus during His ministry was the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon Him. You'll remember that when Jesus began His ministry, the first thing He did was go down to the River Jordan, and John the Baptist baptized Him, and the Bible says that then the Holy Spirit descended upon Him. And then following that baptism, He went away into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. And there Satan tried to snare Him, to shake Him. But the Bible says that Jesus came out of the wilderness to begin His ministry, and in Luke 4:14 it says He came out in the power, the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. So the thing that Jesus had going for Him in terms of His ministry was the spiritual power of the Holy Spirit resting upon Him, able to work powerfully through this perfect human being. So when Jesus says that after He's gone, the Holy Spirit will come, and when He says that the things He did, that greater things than that will we do, that's what He's talking about. Well, now let me ask you, do you as a believer have that spiritual power? Is that miracle power of God working in and through your life? I suspect most of us would have to admit that it is not. That being the case, how do we get that special spiritual power? How do we go about acquiring this power of God? How do we get plugged in? Well, the first point I want to make this morning is this. If you are a believer, you already have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that no man calls Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit working in his heart. When your heart began to long for Jesus, when you begin to yearn to change your ways and to follow God's ways, when you made your decision to believe in Jesus and you decided you were going to try to be the person that God wanted you to be, that was the Holy Spirit working in your life. You see, we discover that we can't even call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit. So we're dependent on the Spirit within us to enable us to be a Christian. And in that sense, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. You're not seeking for something that you don't already have. Now, the second point I want to share is this. While all Christians already have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit does not have all Christians. That is to say, while we have the Holy Spirit, not many of us are filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus intended for you and for me to have a spiritually abundant life. Can you say of your spiritual life that it's abundant? He said, I am come that they may have life and have it abundantly. To the woman at the well, Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Listen, do you have a gusher going on in your soul? To the Jews, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Do you ever get hungry spiritually and thirsty? And he adds, he that believes out of his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. Well, frankly, I don't know many Christians who have that sort of spiritual fullness. Do you? You see, how does this abundant life come to us? How do we get this bread where we never hunger? And how do we get this water so that we never thirst again? The Bible tells us how we get it. Very plainly, it says, this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which they who believed on him were to receive. So first, all believers have the Holy Spirit. But secondly, not all believers are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, thirdly, God wants all believers in every age, and that includes you and me, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Whoever you are this morning, God wants his great miracle power to be at work in your life. In Ephesians 5:18, our text for this morning, we are commanded in the imperative, be filled with the Spirit. In verse 17, Paul says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And when he says to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he says that's God's will for you. So this spiritual power is not for some select few. It's not just for those who want to be missionaries or preachers. It's not reserved to a very select few. No, this spiritual power is intended for every believer. It's God's will for your life, whoever you are, that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the fact is, you as a believer already have the Spirit at work in your life. Our problem is we aren't filled with the Spirit. Well, let me tell you what you must do to be filled with the Spirit. First, we must deal with the sins in our lives. You see, the Bible tells us that sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Sin blocks the flow of the Spirit. Now, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Spirit can fill us only if he's no longer grieved over our sins. And we get rid of our sins by confessing them and letting the blood of Jesus Christ deal with them, because the promise is that though our sins be as scarlet, when washed in his precious blood, they are as white as snow. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that confession has to be a daily, indeed frequently, a constant event. Day by day by day, I must examine my life and my conduct and my thoughts and confess to God my failures and my shortcomings. Now, if I don't do that, I end up every day with the Holy Spirit within me
grieved.
And he can't fill me when that happens. So to be filled with the Spirit means to deal with the sin in your life. It means constantly to examine your life, to confess your sins, and to seek to overcome those sins. And I suspect a lot of us fall down right there because we aren't doing that. Now, the second requirement is to desire and to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. And out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. Well, that's a wonderful promise. If we're so thirsty, or so spiritually hungry, Jesus promises to feed us. But you know, the problem is a lot of us don't have any spiritual hunger. We have no spiritual thirst. You see, we really don't want to be much different from what we are. If I came to you and said, listen, I want you to radically change your lifestyle. I want you to really be a religious fanatic in the sense that God totally controls your life. And you would say to me, well, I'm not sure. And I really want to get that close to God. Is that true for you? Are you afraid to get too close to God? You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. Most people think, well, you know, if I really surrender my life totally to God, then the first thing he's going to do is send me to Africa as a missionary. I don't want to go to Africa. I don't know why everybody picks Africa. I'd be afraid he'd send me to the Eskimos in the North Pole. I don't like cold weather. But the fact of the matter is, whatever changes God makes in your life, you're not going to resist them. You're going to want to do them. He may want to change how you spend your free time, but you're going to want to change. He may change your friends because you don't have the right kind of friends, but you're going to want to change your friends. And if God did want to send you to Africa, you'd want to go. To be filled with the Spirit means we must desire to be filled. We must want to be filled. Now, thirdly, we must yield ourselves to God without reservation. There can be no areas of our lives which we close off to him. We can't shut him out of any corner of our lives. We can't invite him into the house of our souls and say to him, now, Lord, you've got the free run of my house except for these two rooms. I've got them locked up and I've got the key. You can't go in there. God won't buy into that. I was talking to one of our members today who's very active in our chemical dependency group, and we were discussing this concept of giving 100%. He says, you know, I tried to give 80%. It wouldn't work. I got it down to 10%. I thought, Lord, 10% really isn't going to matter. He said, it wouldn't work. And it won't. It takes 100%. God wants 100% this morning. In Luke chapter 14, verse 33, Jesus says, so therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. The bottom line is 100%. And in Luke 9:24, he says, for whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Now, some of us may be saying, well, I want to yield myself to God. I really do, without any reservations, but there are some things in my life that bind me. I'm in bondage to something. It may be drugs, it may be alcohol, it may be cigarettes, it may be some other sin in your life. There are some things in my life, you might say, that I seem to have lost control of, and I simply cannot dig this thing out of my life. Now, at some point down the road, when I'm able to control myself and be a better person, then I'm going to give the Lord 100%. Well, let me assure you that God does not require of us that we purify ourselves or become sinless by our own efforts in order to fill us with the Holy Spirit. He knows we'll never make it. No, all he asks from you is for your consent for him to come into every area of your life. He will do the transforming work. He will do the purifying. All he asks for is our consent. So don't be deceived. God can't fill you if you're holding anything back from him. Now, the fourth step in being filled with the Holy Spirit is this. First, to deal with sin. Secondly, to yearn, to hunger, to desire to be filled. And then thirdly, total surrender, complete yieldedness. Now, the fourth step is this, Once we've met those first three conditions, we must believe that God has filled us. Many people think you have to feel something or have some particular experience to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes when a person gets filled with the Holy Spirit, he may have a dramatic spiritual experience. I've heard of testimonies of many people who got filled with the Holy Spirit and had tremendous spiritual experiences. But the fact of the matter is, God is going to deal with you according to who you are. If you're a very emotional person, you'll likely have a very emotional experience. But if you're a cool, laid-back person, you're going to have a cool, laid-back experience. God's not going to violate the integrity of your personality. Some may tell you that to get filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to have a particular sort of experience, such as speaking in tongues. But that isn't true either. No, to be filled with the Spirit is the same as any other form of spiritual grace. Now, I'm going to say this again, and I really want you to underscore this in your mind. To be filled with the Spirit is the same as any other form of spiritual grace. The Bible says we are to live, how? By faith. The Bible says by faith are we pardoned. The Bible says by grace are you saved through faith. Well, the same is true for being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an act of faith on your part. If you have met the first three conditions for being filled with the Holy Spirit, then by faith you believe you are filled, you seize God's promise by faith, just as you did when you accepted Jesus as Savior. Jesus once said, "Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And we don't see the glory of God because we're not believing, we're not having faith. What this church needs to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is by faith to believe that God is pouring out His Spirit. You can have the miracle power of God in your life. And you can have it this morning. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit before you walk out of this sanctuary. You only need to confess, to desire the fullness of the Spirit, to surrender every part of your being to God, and then by faith to believe that you are filled. Do you remember the day you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Do you remember what happened that day? Well, you were pardoned instantly of your sins. By faith you believed and you knew, "I'm forgiven." And it was such a joyous moment. In an instant, in a moment of time, you were cleansed and pardoned and forgiven. Listen. By that same act of faith, by trusting God's word, by believing, you can be filled. The only question is, do you really want to be filled? And you're the only person that can answer that. Let us pray. Father, there's a sin in our lives, and we confess it right now. We ask you to wash us in the blood of Jesus, that we'll be cleansed and forgiven. And God, there's some of us here, I know, who really don't want to be any different from what we are. We don't want to make any changes. We don't intend to make any changes. But there are some, Lord, whose hearts are yearning, who have a holy desire, a holy thirst for more of you. And there are those here who are ready, Lord, to commit themselves 100%, to say, "Here I am, Lord, all of me, take all of me, Lord." And I pray for those whose hearts yearn, whose hearts are surrendered, whose sin is confessed, that now, Holy Ghost, come upon them and fill them from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet, that their whole being might be filled with the glory and the wonder of God. And we thank you. By faith, we believe that we are filled and that you are going to do a miracle work in our lives. Blessed be your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.